I have the privilege again to minister revelation and the Word of God. Pastor Jim Borchard, still in Uganda with Pastor David, and we have a few in the congregation today. Peggy's in the congregation today, Mrs. Borchard, and we got Monica, and your first name is?
Brother in Jesus Mark.
Brother in Jesus Mark, praise God. So we have a few folks here, and we're going to, but I feel led to minister to those that are just by Holy Ghost divine appointment. You're on the internet right now and you're wondering, he sure don't look like Pastor Jim. So I'm going to share with you, because everything I believe is by divine appointment, never by chance. The scripture is very plain that our footsteps are ordered of the Lord. So there's nothing that, since my life now has been given over to the gospel and to my Lord Jesus Christ, that means my footsteps, whatever he has designed for me to do, will be ordered of the Lord. And if there's any evil, he will turn that evil for good. So tonight, as I just feel led to minister, not only here, but to those that are on the internet tonight, God wants to deposit something in your spirit tonight. Because there are some things that I'm going to say by the Holy Spirit. I have no agenda. I have no notes. I have no really anything, no sermons to give tonight. I'm simply going to open my mouth and let the Holy Spirit minister to what he's put in my spirit. Being one in leadership in this end time, I believe we are in the end time. I know they've been saying that for over 200 years. And every 50 or 75 years, somebody will come and say, "We know we're going to be going home in a month or 2 months." The signs and the times, obviously, according to Scripture, there are so many things that still have to happen before the coming of the Lord. And one of the most crucial things that have to happen is that the church, what I call the Gentile church, those that have been grafted in to this end time, we have to be one with the Jew. And when the Jew and the Gentile become one, then our coming of the Lord shall come. Not till then. He's not going to do it till then. And so everybody that's out there, I know you're hearing rumors of wars. As a matter of fact, I was reading this today about some of the things that have to happen. It says in the Gospel of Luke, St. Luke, chapter 21, it says right here, I'm going to read this. Let me put my glasses on. It says here in verse 8, this is Jesus speaking now. It says, "Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ." He didn't say the Christ. He said, "I am Christ." Now, if you look in the original Greek, it says Christ means anointed. I'm anointed. We have a lot of ministers and a lot of people saying they're anointed right now. And he said this was going to happen. And he said, "And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them." In other words, don't be affected by all these things that are going on. Excuse me. And then, "But when ye shall hear of wars, commotions, be ye not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." Yes. In other words, there's a whole lot of stuff that has to happen before we even get to some serious things that's going to happen. "Then he said unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights. And great signs shall be from heaven. And before all these, they shall lay down their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." And it says, it's interesting, he said, "for my name's sake." There are a lot of people think they're being persecuted, and I'm going to say this as very clear as I can say. There's an epidemic in the church world called Christian morons. These are people who are just idiots. They don't have the love of God. They're ignorant. They're young in the Lord. And that's not the reason to be persecuted. The reason of persecution, he just said, for his name's sake. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
So you are a representation, an ambassador. You are walking in the fullness, an impartation of an anointing from heaven. So you are a manifestation of our Lord on this planet in due season. And so guess what? You're going to get hated. Why? Because you love. Why? Because you have power and because you've been separated. So people who have been listening to Christians for probably the past 7,500 years, you ask almost any Christian or any even the world people, you ask them on the world today, what do you think of Christian? Well, they'll just say they're all hypocrites. Well, that's true. You know, I never argue that. Yeah, you're right. And so if you ask the world, what do most preachers want? The answer is universal. What is it? Money. That's all they want. And that's, what they're doing today. That's what everybody's into, money. So the world's not stupid. They know right off the bat. But how many ministers, how many believers truly are walking in that one passage where they're blessed because they're coming in the name of the Lord? They represent and they are backed up by the Holy Spirit of God because they represent Yeshua. See, now those are dying. It's hard to find those because there's so much individual government, self-government that needs to be matured in an individual. We don't see much of God. We see more of that person. And so God is mysterious right now. But I'm telling you, that's going to change. That is going to change. So those who are listening by the internet, I want to exhort you, wherever you're at, this is a God-given time for me to exercise the position that I'm in so you can hear from the Spirit of God what God is saying to the church. This afternoon, we had a great time with another congregation, and the Holy Spirit moved in a dimension we had never moved before. I almost couldn't preach. I almost couldn't talk. I was so overwhelmed by joy and overwhelmed by conviction and overwhelmed by, because we took communion as a congregation, and I began to meditate and just think about our Lord Jesus Christ. How many times, when's the last time you really heard, if you were in the denomination, a sermon, or go to a full gospel church where they talked about and preached and shared about our Lord? Because he said, if I be lifted up, then I will draw men unto me. Well, see, he was lifted up this afternoon, and it just drew me to him. Now, see, how many ministries, though, discuss money or discuss, you know, just the things that really don't build me up? Because, see, I'm the ex-worldly guy that needed to get saved. I needed to get saved. I was the guy everybody was praying, oh, he needs to get saved. And so I came from the world. I didn't come from a church background or any type of religious background, even though in the natural I have a Hispanic background. I wasn't a Catholic. I wasn't, matter of fact, I didn't have any religion in me. So when I got born again, I didn't have any spiritual trappings to mess me up. So when I got into this, I got into it in the Spirit, just like he said to the Galatians. And I have done everything I could to stay with my Lord. But I tell you, religion sure tries real hard to get you in the law, to get you in the performance, to misunderstand grace and mercy and your position in God. Because I have found out very few ministers and I have worked and been under some of the top ministers in the world. Very few of them, I mean barely a handful, can say they know God. Now see, they know God by the written Bible, their natural understanding of Scripture. So their stories of Moses, their story of Old Testament, their stories of Jesus and the Gospels is all they understand. So if their English is limited, the understanding of the English language, and how many know, I mean, the English language isn't, you just don't speak it. I mean, you go to school, and I remember my school teacher used to tell me this, Peggy, you know, do you know what a prepositional phrase is? No. How about a conjunction? No. What's a verb? I don't know. What's a pronoun? Still don't know. You know, so I didn't know all that was part of why we speak English. So we have a Bible there that was translated by King James and it says many times, at the discretion of King James, he added some things in there. And so, as one who came from the world, the first thing I thought was, I don't think Jesus was American. And he isn't. And but yet we have an American understanding of that gospel. We have an American concepts. We have American religion. And so that's the reason why there is such a confusion in the United States. Yet people have taken their religion and it's so mythical that they'll die for it. But there's no life to it and no truth to it. But yet somebody will be 75 years and they'll die a staunch Baptist or a devout Catholic, which has nothing to do with Yeshua, nothing to do with the Holy Spirit of God. And so it was real easy for me when I got into it. I said, oh, there's a problem here. There's a big problem here. I don't get it. I don't know why everybody's jumping in on that, because I was the Galatian that wasn't going to be bewitched. And yet everybody kept trying to bewitch me. And it's interesting that the King James Version used that word bewitching. And it's really demonic. Religion, Jesus calls demonic. Any form of natural thinking, he doesn't call it garbage. He calls it demonic. So what's demonic mean? That means the author of that is Lucifer. So the author of religion is Lucifer. Now see, you talk that to the mainstream churches, you're not going to be speaking at very many churches, because their basis of Christianity is based on their assumption and their reason and their theology. And there is no life. I'm going to say this to everyone that's listening to me. There is no life in theology. There is no life in doctrine. There is only life in spirit. And spirit will tell you that Yeshua is the light. Yeshua is everything. In him is the fullness of God.
Yes.
He is truth.
Yes.
So how can we even begin to comprehend with other brothers in the Lord that may be saved, but they're full of doctrines of devils, and they're been Americanized? Well, that's why we need the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus began to speak about the coming events, he says here in verse 12, he said, before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up into the synagogues and in the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Then he says this, settle it therefore in your heart, not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall be caused to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men, not some, all. For what? Because you're a moron? Because you're a picklehead? No, for he said, for my name's sake. That's the only reason we should be persecuted. Otherwise, now we're vessels of love. We're vessels of power. We're vessels of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes.
And then he said this. After they hate, all those men hate you for money, he said, there shall not a hair of your head be perished. And in your patience, possess ye your souls. You know what he's saying there? I had read that a million times, Peggy. What that means is that if you're just so full of God, and you're being persecuted for the right reason, well, guess what? That patience that's being produced by the Holy Spirit, you'll have your soul. And what's your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions will never be affected by this persecution that's going to be coming to the church. The reason the persecution has not come to the church is that we're not operating by the Spirit of God yet. Not in that dimension. Once we operate in that dimension, that fourth dimension of the Holy Spirit of God, then then we're persecutable. So then we're not. Right now, all we're suffering, I'm going to say this to everybody in the airwaves, like in other you in third world countries that you're being persecuted for the gospel, but in America right now, we're being persecuted, and we're not really being persecuted. We're just being spiritually inconvenienced. Because none of us are broke. None of us are starving. No one's putting a gun to our heads. Well, none of that stuff that happens in most other countries is not happening to us right now. We can go and get bottled water anywhere we want, toilet paper anywhere we want. We can pretty much have all the conveniences we need. We're just spiritually inconvenienced right now. Somebody may get mad because we're making a prayer before a football game. Big deal. Okay? They got serious and a little offended. Big deal. Now, what the persecution that has to come to the church is because of his name's sake and only that reason. So people will go, well, we're gonna promote the gospel and do this, and people are gonna no. He didn't say you're gonna be persecuted for the gospel. He said you're gonna be persecuted for his namesake. And so the namesake means you're coming in his name. And we don't understand a lot of that because we're Americans. In Europe, it was very easy. If you got a letter from the king or queen, and you came there, and that letter was just as much, had just as much power and influence and declaration, because if it had a seal on it, that was just like him standing right there. And you're coming with that authorization, and you're coming with that power. And so they had to accept you, because you walked in saying, I'm coming in the name of the king. Oh ye, listen. Take out that scroll and read it. And it was just like the king was there. He was probably 300 miles away eating a big piece of lamb. But that's what he said. Well, see, his word is not just this written word. And that's where all this confusion comes in, Peggy. Because there's so many people that preach a lot of theology and a lot of what I call doctrines. But the thing that God intended us, and this is the thing I want everybody to hear, what God intended for his end time believers is to be connected to heaven spiritually. So when you do read this written word, it will then be rightly divided spiritually. Because that's how God intended his children to live, by the Spirit. We're to know one another by the Spirit. Where that's the only way God, so you can look at me right now, and Peggy will tell you, she looks at me, I look like an interesting young man. I mean, I look very conservative. And so people can say, well, I don't know, he seems like this or looks like that, or he could be like that. He looks a little tired. Man, he looks a little mean. Maybe he wears black a lot. I don't know. Maybe he rides a motorcycle. I don't know about, but see, we're not to know one another. Immediately, since we're connected in heaven and we're of the same spiritual makeup, there should be automatically an understanding inwardly that is a brother and a sister in the Lord. Nothing to do with the outward appearance, as Jesus said. Nothing to do with the outward appearance. But an American gospel has to rely on outward appearance. If I were to go ministering to a local denomination, the first thing they're going to ask me is, where is your paperwork? Who are you affiliated with? What organization has your paperwork? It's not even in the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible with that. Absolutely not. But they had the same problems in the early Testament church. One of Apollos, one of this, one of that. Who are you with? See, already they begin to leave the spiritual side and get into the natural. And that's why God is getting the church back into that realm of the spiritual. In the 20s and 30s, Peggy, if you talk like the way I'm talking by the Spirit, they call Christians spiritualists. The early church was called spiritual. They're spiritualists. And they thought, and that's why there was a famous guy called Houdini. And he lost his mother and he wanted to communicate. So he figured, you know what? If these Christians who are spiritualists, they understand this other dimension, well, that's where my mom's at. Because she was, they said that she was a born-again Christian. So he wanted to talk to her. He had such a love for her. So see, you ask an American Christian now anything spiritual, they don't understand anything. They wouldn't understand the fourth dimension. They wouldn't understand heaven. If it's not written, they won't even attempt it. Well, guess what? There's a lot of things aren't written in there. Doesn't mean it's not true. Show me a scripture that talks about Harley Davidson. It's not in there. So that means we deny they're alive. They're not real. You can kick it. It's going to start. Well, it's not in the Bible, so it's not real. I'm sorry. Well, so see, spiritual matters, the things of the Spirit, that's why God intended the believer his bride, his children, to be spiritual and not common. To have that infilling of the Spirit of God so he can communicate us. And if you are thrown in an island without a Bible, God forbid for the charismatics and the word people, if they didn't have their Bible, you can make it. God's not limited by a book. He's never limited by a book. But see, we have, and I'm going to say it, I'm going to stir some of you folks up there, we have made a God out of this Bible. And we need to be in love and connected to the God of the Bible. And so that, and he intended us as believers to be connected spiritually. So if you ever get on an island, just like Tom Hanks, you won't freak out because you got this basketball and that's your only hope. His name was Wilson. Well, if you're in a Bible or prison, wherever you go, it's been written in your heart and you have this active, real live God that's alive and talking to you. You have fellowship. And you have relationship, not based on a book that you can close up and forget. And that's the reason why the church is confused right now. Because all their Christian understandings based on natural understanding of Christian matters. And so, how does that help somebody who's got cancer? Well, you can quote them a bunch of scripture, doesn't do anything. But if you got power and demonstration of the God of that Bible, that cancer's got to bow. See? Because that devil will say the same thing he said to Paul. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who the heck are you? See, you've got to be connected to the God of that Bible. And now a lot of people say, well, I am connected. Well, you may be saved, but are you maturing and do you have the presence of the Spirit of God that Jesus said, wait and tarry till you get this power? And once you get this, then you'll understand. Because he spent 40 days after his resurrection, and he talked about only one theme. The theme was the kingdom of God. After 40 days, I don't know, Peggy's a teacher. Now, Peggy, every time I say Peggy, those of you who don't know who I'm talking about, that's Pastor Jim's wife. She's right here looking at me. So, Peggy, since you're a teacher, you know that students can learn a lot if you're a good teacher. You can always tell a student by their teacher. Amen? Great teacher, you're going to have great students. Here is the Son of God who is called Rabbi and teacher. And he just got back from heaven. And he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the creator of us, Peggy. He is the teacher's teacher's teacher. He is the teacher. And for 40 days, his disciples didn't get it. Was it because he wasn't a great teacher? I don't think so. Why did they not get it? Because they were spiritually messed up. See, at times when Jesus would breathe on them is when the only time the Holy Ghost would come on them. But they didn't have the gift. Remember, he said, I'm going to go back to my Father for the promise of this gift. That way you guys don't become spiritual knuckleheads. All my believers are going to be spiritual knuckleheads if they don't get this empowerment. Because this scripture will mess you up. That's why we have all kinds of denominational theologies. We even got the Ku Klux Klan who believe that they're Christians. Well, how do they get that? Because of this, there's slavery scriptures in there. So you can do and say whatever you want to say. You've got to have the Holy Ghost, the gift of this baptism, so you can rightly divine, not you dividing, the Holy Ghost divines in, rightly divides the word in you so you're not goofed up. Amen. And Peggy, that's the reason why there's so much division. Because they absolutely believed in their reason. They have no other place to go. Those disciples were sitting there under the teacher, and he's talking to them about the kingdom of God for 40 days. Now, and he's just going over and over and over and over and over, and they all had the same look. They didn't get it. And Jesus knew, guess what? It's expedient that I get out of here. Because you ain't going to get it. Mark Zaragoza isn't going to get it. Jim Borchert's not going to get it. Monica's not going to get it. Peggy Borchert's not. No one's going to get this because this is heaven stuff trying to get into a natural death holder that cannot comprehend what is spiritual when we're common. So God said, I got to go. And I've got to give you this gift, this promise. And once I give this to you, something's going to happen. Now, you can't see this, although those are out in the internet. I got my hands over my eyes right now. And what happens, this is what happened to me, when I came from the world, when I got baptized by the Spirit of God, this is what happened to me. If you ever seen a horse, in the old days of horses, they used to have these things called blinders over their eyes so they can stay focused. But what happens to the believer is the blinders come off. And you can spiritually discern and understand heaven in a different dimension that you could not before. So Yeshua was no longer a story, but he was my Lord.
Amen.
Yeshua was no longer a Middle Eastern Jew that I had no comprehension. I can now understand fully in my heart by the Holy Spirit's infusion of revelation now what happened at the cross. Before it was just, it just happened. But see, that's why the necessity of the Spirit of God is so important. And that's the reason why the church today, maybe I shouldn't say the church, but so many Christians have denied the ministry of the Holy Spirit. They don't want them in the church because it's going to ruin the deal. Because you're going to find out that 1,000 years of theology doesn't mean anything to God. Doesn't mean anything. As a matter of fact, Jesus had the same religious problem when he was walking on this earth. He went to those Pharisees and Sadducees. Remember that? He stood right before them. Right before him and said, hey, you know who I am. You got to know who I am. You guys study this all the time. And what did he say? I stand before you and you don't even know who I am. Why? They don't understand heavenly matters. They only understand the written word, which is, they call the law. They were under the law. There was no life to that. Life comes in the spirit of that written word. So they were under the law. They understood what it said from top to, and then Paul was the chief of those guys. And yet he didn't get it. So the only way you can understand, so I don't care if you're a Baptist leader, I don't care if you're one of the top pastors, if this gets to you, Methodist leaders, charismatic leaders, if you don't have the baptism and the Spirit of God, you are out of balance. You cannot discern spiritual matters naturally. Cannot do it through theology or doctrines. Impossible. I'm sorry, you're wrong. Go ahead and hate me. That's just the way it is. I'm not prideful about it. I just thank God he bailed me out. Because it's very easy for me to lean on my own understanding. And the Bible says, don't.
Right.
It says, do not lean on your own understanding, but lean on the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
He goes, my ways are different. Oh, yeah, he didn't say you weren't going to understand him. He just said, my ways are different. Why? They're spiritual. Take one little natural thing. Peggy, we just passed income tax time, right? It was April what?
15th.
Okay, and it's April, what, 28 today or 27? Okay, so this past month, I've noticed how believers are real nervous. I mean, everybody's been nervous about income tax time. How are we going to do this? How are we going to pay for this? I don't know. Maybe I got to do another 40 more hours, or maybe I can get a loan to pay off this. Maybe I can talk to... And how did Jesus deal with taxes? Here, he had to deal with the same thing. I mean, he got concerned, Peggy. He broke out in a sweat. No. You know what he said? Go fishing.
Right.
And go get a gold coin. That's my kind of God. How do you take care of your taxes? Go fishing.
Right.
See, us as believers, we would have never gone that narrow because we're not spiritual. Mm. When you're spiritual, you go into the spiritual options. Wow, anything's possible.
That's right.
He may just say, talk to a cat. Cat come up there and say, hey, man, I was out in the garbage and I found, you know, Al Capone's money in there. Here, you can have it. But see, we're not going to go down that road because we're naturally minded. And the Bible says naturally minded, carnally minded is death.
Yeah.
Spiritual minded is life.
Amen.
So I'm going to say it again. Carnal mind, death. Spiritual mind, life.
Amen.
Where is the life in? In the Holy Spirit who tells us about Yeshua, his ways, his character. So everything he is, I am. So that's what I want to meditate on. So that's the reason why in this verse he said, guess what? You'll be able to possess your soul during all these times if you're spiritual.
Amen.
Because, Peggy, I can have the best doctors come try to help me out. I'm telling you can take only so many pills. You can go on, somebody, they're all going to say the same thing. Finally, if you get a real doctor and they've done everything, you know what they all say? And they all say this. Well, we've done all we can do. I guess you're in a higher power's hand. Great.
As always.
Well, you know what? Then that's really where we should have started.
Yeah.
So that's where I know without any reservation that this gospel, for at least the past 250, 300 years, has been misinterpreted naturally. Because the coming of the Lord is coming now. I know that in my heart. But I know there's a lot to do yet. There's a lot to have, because the Holy Spirit's given me information that nobody knows. I knew there was going to be problems before there was problems. I knew I was going to be a problem before I had the Holy Ghost. It didn't take a rocket scientist to know. So again, whoever's listening to us, wherever you're at, God, the Holy Spirit wants to be a part of your life. And you may be saying, how do I become baptized in the Holy Ghost? Just like he did in the New Testament, he said, wait, ask for it, and wait on God to give it to you. And it's a gift. And you'll know when you get it. Well, will I speak in tongues? Yeah, you will. Well, will I have power? Yeah, you will. What kind of dimension and level you have? I don't know. That's between you and God. He knows what you can handle. But you're going to have to grow up just like everything else. You mature in the things of God.
Amen.
And so that's what I had to do. Because I remember when I saw a lot of believers who were my age get into the Holy Ghost, all they wanted to do was dance and throw handkerchiefs and bow-wow and laugh and all this kind of stuff. I wasn't interested in all that. I was interested in healing the sick. I was interested in growing up and maturing. I wasn't into bow-wowing. So everybody's different. So guess what? So I don't know. Whoever's listening to me right now by the Holy Ghost, you do what God tells you to do. But the reason you're in the confusion you're in is because you're trying to discern Christianity through your reason and through your intellect. That's why words like grace, mercy, all these different ministries that are promoting this, doing that, prosperity, it's all confusing to you. But it's crystal clear. I like what Jim says. It is crystal clear to me. I'm not confused. I know who's right and I know who's wrong. I know what's up and I know what's down. I can tell you without any reservation who's right. Jesus. Period. Everyone else, I just have to ask God. But most folks I know, most ministers, I don't care the big names, all of them are based on theology. Their understanding. Now, they'll throw in the Holy Ghost every so often if it's convenient. But you'll know. You know. Because here's the culprit that does it. Peggy, this is how I know every time when God allows grace in the ministry, when that ministry bases most of what they're doing because of money. When there's a money issue, big ministries, television ministry, whatever, when the money's the issue, they'll say it's not, but I'm telling you, they're liars. Because, man, without God are liars. So when they say, no, we're really doing this because God told them, see, God doesn't need any help. Doesn't need any help. Doesn't need anybody to do anything for him. He's done it all. It's finished. So when there's a money issue, then it's an immature ministry. Very immature. And so, but when it's a God ministry and it's run by the Holy Spirit, you will know it's unique. It won't look like anything. You'll have nothing to base it on. As a matter of fact, just like Jim, the ministry here in our ministry, we don't look like we're successful because we don't have all the trappings. We don't have the big screens and the big bands and we don't have all these hundreds of thousands and the great parking lots and all these different things that all these big ministries sell to let you think that that's God doing that. Well, let me tell you, I think God's bigger than giving you a parking lot. I think God's bigger than giving you big screens. And I know in some big churches, you really have God. If you can go to those toilets that you don't even touch your hand, the little light comes on when you do your business and you walk away and it flushes. Now you've hit the gospel. Well, I'm sorry, I disagree. And so in third world countries, they get very disheartening thinking they're not in the will of God because they may be ministering to just 20 or 10, 15 people and they're believing God every day for just their chickens, the seeds to grow and things. And then they hear the United States, all because there's so much money here that God must be blessing the United States. No. There's a thing called the law of averages. Does everybody know that? The law of averages. You get 10 people give you a buck, that's what? $10. You give 10,000 people giving you a buck, what is that? $10,000. You give 100,000 people in sending you money, guess what? It starts to add up. God had nothing to do with it. It's called the law of averages. Anybody hear this cliche? Whoever's the loudest squeak gets oiled?
Yeah.
That's all natural man. But what if you got to trust God? Really trust God.
Yeah.
Woo, Peggy, I'm going to tell you right then, it's going to thin out quick. People are going to thin out quick because now, trust God. What do you mean? Because the preachers and the tourists were saying this, Peggy, all the time. God doesn't need your money. Well, then don't say anything. No, they're going to talk about the tithe. They're going to talk about this. Anything legal, anything under performance, they're going to put you on because they got to pay for that deal. Well, see, if you're spiritually, you know what? You totally know that God is your source.
Amen.
That He is the God, the Alpha, the Omega. You're spiritually connected. You know that everything that you need, because He said, "What didn't Jesus say this, Peggy? Take no heed for what you're going to wear." He said, "Don't be concerned what you're going to eat and drink."
That's right.
And He said, "This is the big one, Peggy. Don't even be concerned what they're going to do to your body. Wow. I got it all covered." Yeah. That doesn't sound like the Charismatics to me. Doesn't sound like the Baptists to me. Doesn't sound like the Church of Christ to me. Because the only time they trust God is when their deal starts getting messed with. Oh my God, the gas is going up again. We better pray. Pray for what? See, that's why American Christianity is of the devil. I'm going to say it again. I want it crystal clear in the internet. American Christianity is of the devil. There is no such thing as an American Christianity, Baptist Christianity, Methodist Christianity. You are the Church of the Living God. Connected by the Holy Ghost, spiritually infused in that fourth dimension that Yeshua is a part of. You are the bride. You are the children of God. That's the family of God.
Amen.
There is no denomination. There is no denominations.
Amen.
And we are connected through this love. We're connected through the body. Who is the head of this church? Jesus Himself.
Amen.
And see, us as ex-Gentiles, right, Peggy? We were grafted in. This gospel didn't come to us first. It came to the Jew first. That's what Jesus said. I come to the Jew first.
Uh-huh.
We got grafted in. Man, I don't know if that blesses you. That blesses me because guess what? We're dying and going to hell and deserved it. Matter of fact, you talk to any Jew today, we're considered goyim. What's goyim? Dogs. And for that, we had no participation in this redemption. We weren't even part of, we were alien to this covenant with Abraham. We couldn't even get in. Except there was Yeshua, and He said this, whosoever.
Yes, sir.
Well, as a Gentile, that's me.
Yep.
So guess what? He said, not only will you get grafted in to this vine, but now I'm not going to withhold anything from you. Now I'm going to give you the promise that I gave to Israel. You can now have the Holy Spirit and understand and be so connected with me, I'll even use you. And the main purpose of the Gentile church is not for us to be prosperous and us to be so powerful. The main purpose of the Gentile church is to make jealous and bring back the Jew. That's what Jesus said. That we're to go back to Israel. Help them. Bless. He said, pray for Israel. So guess what? You know what? We start walking around with Yeshua and communicating with the Holy Spirit. They're going to listen. They're going to go, wow. Wow, these guys, they know more. And see, but we're so Americanized, we don't understand feasts. We don't understand all this stuff that they understand about covenant language and stuff. We don't understand all that stuff. Thank God. What we should have is the goods. God in us.
Yes.
In a dimension that surpasses English, surpasses customs, surpasses any form of race,
yes,
and reason. Because
yes,
spiritual power surpasses all that.
Amen.
I told this one Hispanic guy, I said, man, I'm in. Do you have a Spanish church? No. Well, aren't you Hispanic? No. But you're brown, so what? What are you? I said, I'm spiritual.
Positive.
He went, what? You're not Catholic? No, I'm spiritual. I said, no, this outward thing, this outward shell, yeah, it still looks Hispanic. He said, but behold, the Spirit of God told me this. See, I just didn't read it. He said, old things have passed away, and behold, I have created you brand spanking new. You never existed before. Matter of fact, you were spiritually dead. So what are you, Hispanic? No, I'm spiritual. I'm a spiritual creature.
Yes.
Made of Zoe. Made of God, the God kind of stuff now. I'm aware of my body, but I'm going to major on my spiritual.
That's right.
So why? Because He said so. The work that He did. Because if I stay on my sin consciousness side, man, I can get nasty. If I major on that, I'm not a really nice person to be around because I like to waller in that. Anybody else like to waller in that? You know, we'll say, well, he's Italian. No, he's Irish. He's got a temper. What does that have to do with it? You know, well, he's Hispanic. They're going to have a lot of kids. Well, see, I'm that. Oh, he's black. What does that have to do with it? See, when you're spiritual, you're born again of the Spirit of God. Now you're in the God class. You've been created in that God substance class. See, very few ministers talk about that because they don't talk. They're not in that. They're in theology. They can tell you backwards and forwards what the American language means in that scripture. If it's, I don't know, some of the words I've heard some ministers say, this is congenitive and this is pronunctual and this is this and that's all. I don't understand all that stuff. All I do understand is this, what the Holy Spirit said to me. If he says up, it's up. Down, down. Go there, I'll go there. Don't do that, I won't do it. But he's the one who empowers me, and he's the one who changes me because I'm beholding God. I don't have to do anything. There's no performance. Here's the message to everyone that's listening on there. This is what the spiritual thing's going to produce in you. Rest. That's what he wants his, that's what he wants his bride to do. He doesn't want his bride sweating, putting on the makeup, trying to do this, look right, lose weight, get the right lipstick, you know, pick that hairs off your nose and get all that. No, he just wants you resting because he's going to marry you. He doesn't want you freaking out. He doesn't care if you don't even get the Bible. He'll write it in your heart. He'll do all of it. But see, the church, the American church, has totally messed all that up. So that's why the spiritual side, why God's called me as an apostle to talk to the churches about the spiritual side of what God's trying to get his church. Individually first, self-government with the Holy Spirit, then he can deal with us, like I was talking to you, as a corporate body. So he can marry us. And then we can impress the Jew. But right now, why talk about our natural government, Peggy, when we don't even have the church government in order? That's why when people talk to me, well, try to fix up the American government. Fix them up? Are you kidding? The church government's messed up. But once the church government is in order, that's why even Jesus said, the first government that has to be done is self-government. So your home is in order. So you're in order. And once that happens, guess what? Jesus said this. Once your house is in order, then you can rule and have government in the church. Till then, you're not to rule in the church. You're not to lead in the church. If your house is out of order, if your government's out of order, you're not to do that. Well, that's what we have in the United States. We have all these religious leaders. I'm going to say this publicly and loud. Even Barack's pastor, who I respect and listen to, everything he said was 1,000% pretty much right on the money. But there was nothing spiritual because he's not baptized by the Spirit of God. He's not connected. He doesn't know which is the major and which is the minor. So without that, guess what? It's just another voice. Another person saying something positive. And so that's why I'm saying to you that this gospel is spiritual now. We're spiritual creatures, and that we're going to major on spiritual things that the Holy Ghost said to major on. So if we're born again, do we major on death? Do we major on life? So am I going to major on my old man or my new man? The new man. Now, that's going to get everybody upset because, see, we're still in this cage, this earth suit that wants to remind us naturally, no, you're still in the body. So that's the real you, and that's not the real me. What's the real me? What Jesus said. He said, I recreated you. You have fruits of the Spirit now. Can you imagine that, Peggy? See, I want to be nasty, but that's not what Jesus said I am anymore. You know what he said I am? He said, I have long temperance. I have love. I have joy. I have all these gifts, all these qualities, because that's Jesus now in me, not me in me. And so that's the reason why this message is not popular in the church. It's only popular in certain places because, and it's not the purpose of having these fruits of the Spirit is not to produce more money. It's for God to come and live in me, for me to will and to do what he wants me to do now.
Amen.
See? And so this is not going to be popular. I know it's not popular. It's not what people want. And so, see, Jesus isn't just my Savior anymore. He's my Lord. Now, if he was my Savior, for all those that are out there that are just born again, he's your Savior. Just enjoy this. Don't even pretend you never even heard any of this stuff. Just enjoy Jesus. Abuse him. Take whatever you're going to get and get whatever. But one day you're going to wake up and you may make this mistake and say, okay, God, thy will be done, not mine. And when you ask that, then you're going to find out he wants to be Lord of your life. And he's better being the Lord than you are. then you're going to find out your wants, your dislikes, everything about you is probably goofed up. Then you're going to find out you've been living your life for yourself. And when you find out that he's got a purpose for you, he's got a plan for your family, he's got your sickness, whatever you're going through or whatever you're dealing with, it could be over with in just a matter of seconds if you say, okay, God, I want to do what you want me to do.
Amen.
Because then now you're actually seeking first his kingdom. And because of this impartation of the Holy Spirit, now you're seeking after righteousness. You don't even, you have no clue to what righteousness is. Most people think it's more morality. Morality has nothing to do with righteousness. People say, well, it's just right standing with God. God made you right. No, it's more than that. I mean, it's much more than just you're in there because of the fault. You're the epitome. You're the fullness of God, of a righteous God, which means what? A righteous king withholds his power. That's why Jesus was righteous. So you can withhold wrath. You can withhold all kinds of things that normally a spiritual leader does. First thing a spiritual leader with power does, he starts condemning. Jesus said, don't condemn. For therefore there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. But Jesus did say to judge. Now people say, tell me all the time, you're not supposed to be judging. That's not what he said. He said, you're to judge. Do you know that, Peggy? He said, you're to judge spiritual matters. That's what he said. He said, you are to judge spiritual matters righteously. So how are you going to do it? Well, if you don't know the spiritual laws, how many know that every, especially in the United States, if you're out there in this country, United States, we have federal laws, we have civil laws, we have state laws, and then we have even local laws, and sometimes in different counties, different laws. So many laws, and so you got to know if you're going to go from county to county, sometimes they change. Sometimes in some cities, even with alcohol, some call dry counties, some aren't. Cigarettes, taxation, all different things. And when you get into the spiritual kingdom, Peggy knows this, that the spiritual laws, most ministers don't understand the spiritual laws that are within the spirit of life. They don't understand those laws. I do. That's the reason why I'm so misunderstood. Because they'll think, well, he's free. No, he's not free. He's just doing whatever he wants to do. No, I'm free because that's the law. I'm under the law of life. I don't abuse my grace, don't abuse my mercy, but I'll abuse it when I need it. See what I'm saying? Because that's what Jesus said to do. So that's why I'm saying that this spiritual thing, where we're going, everyone that's listening to me, I want you to understand with crystal clarity, the reason you're listening to this tonight is so that you will understand that God is developing a spiritual creature out of you, that you're no longer of this world, that you're an alien. In Texas, we're in Fort Worth, Texas right now, and I'm telling you the big issue is illegal aliens. Well, I am one, not because I'm Hispanic. I am no longer a part of this world. I'm an alien to this world now.
Yes.
And so are you if you're born again. But see, if you don't understand that dimension, that world, that realm, you don't get it. You're an American Christian. You're stuck in this planet, and you don't want to hang around when all hell breaks loose. You're in the pre-trib. You're wanting to get out. I'm telling you right now, I'm not in the pre-trib, post-trib. I'm in the pan-trib. Whatever pans out, I'm okay with it. Because why? Let me tell you something. Because I know the power and the dimension that I'm going to be walking in this realm. I want to hang around when all things. When I know I've got the power, I've got the ace. It's like having all four aces or five aces and going to Vegas every time. Winning every hand. You don't think you're going to be a little bold? What are you going to bet? Everything. Because you got all the aces.
Amen.
So you just go, yeah, put it all on top. Number five. He's going to do it again. Number five again. Because you win every time. Well, why would you want to cower away and say, no, I don't want to be around this world when the devil comes in here and the beast and all that? That's fear. That's Christian cowardism. But see, when you're full of the power of God, you know you got all the aces. You're in authority. You're in power.
Praise.
So I want to hang around. I think it would be the best time to hang around when you know you're in charge. Because no weapon formed against you can prosper. You just said, your hair won't even be touched. That's if you're living in the spiritual realm. That's if you're connected to heaven. That's if you really understand that Jesus is Lord and you're seeking this kingdom and you mature in the things of God. You're ruling now, not just existing.
Amen.
And that's the reason why God wanted me to say this message to you that are listening to the internet, because this is the thing you've been waiting for. You've been wondering, okay, is this just it? Is this all that's to it? Just hanging in there suffering and just dealing? No. This dimension, this outpouring that the Bible talks about in this last days, there's going to be this final rain, this outpouring, Peggy. And I'm telling you, Peggy and I, we live in Texas, and we just recently had some storms. Texas storms are different. Now, you in Hawaii understand what we're talking about, because we kind of get, we call them torrential hurricane wall rains and stuff. I mean, things get knocked over and torn apart. So when we get a Texas storm, it's not little. And so the Bible's talking about that the former rain and the latter rain are going to connect in this end time. So it was this rain that's going to happen, this outpouring of the Spirit of God. So I know what a storm would happen. If we had two storms hit like we had a couple of days at the same time, I don't know if we'd all be here. Because we had storms that were tearing down 300, 200-year-old trees and making steel out of nothing and throwing homes all over the place and semi-trucks. So if this power of the Spirit of God is going to hit us and the church is going to come alive in this dimension, I can't wait. I'll go tell you right there, then the confusion is going to leave, Peggy. All the confusion is going to leave. All this knucklehead preaching and teaching, all this theology is going to leave, because the man is in town. And see, that's the thing that why I'm excited, Peggy, because this is one thing that the Holy Spirit said to me as an exhortation. I asked him, I said, I think I might have shared this last time. I said, Holy Ghost, when are you going to take over? Because we got a church system here that sucks. It's horrible. It's so confused. People, it's just not. I'm almost embarrassed to say I'm a Christian, because everybody's a Christian. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, I said, now when you move, are you going to use the same spiritual leaders that we have today? Are they going to be in charge of that move? You know what he said? No. I went, thank you. Now, this is what I said. I immediately said this, Peggy, to the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry I said that. I'm not saying it because I'm mad and disgusted with all this stuff. I just want to be a part of you that no man can screw it up. Because when God's involved in something, there's no embarrassment. You don't have to defend it. You don't have to give reasons. And see, I used to catch myself a lot of times, well, that brother so-and-so, you know, on TV, I don't even want to talk about it. I'm not going to defend him. Yeah, they're right. Shouldn't have stolen. Shouldn't have taken that up. Shouldn't have that. He should be modest. He shouldn't have that big house. Shouldn't have all that kind of stuff. Because Jesus said, if you got, be modest. Don't be a stumbling block. Well, they don't want to be. They're going to enjoy their stuff. I'm not going to defend them anymore. But when this move of God happens, Peggy, there's not going to be one spiritual leader that's going to control it, make any money out of it, that's going to be in charge of it. It's going to be God in charge of it. And let me tell you who's going to be in authority. You know why I'm going to be in authority in it, if God allows me? Because he said whoever's least will be what?
Great.
First in the kingdom of God. So everyone right now who looks least, who God's working with, yeah, and destroying and maturing and chastening, if you're least, then you'll be greatest in the kingdom. You'll be first in the kingdom. That's the one he's going to use. That's why I know I'm going through everything. Because right now they're all having fun with all this stuff. I'm not having fun. I could have fun with them. I'm not going to do it. Because I know this kingdom's coming. We got a 1,000-year millennial reign coming up, Peggy. People don't even want to talk about that. We're going to be around for 1,000 years. The devil's going to be shot up. Yeah, all that's got to happen. Who's going to be in charge? Who's going to be? Does everybody just leave? I mean, what a goofy church. We just leave and let everybody do what they got to do. Who cares if they all go to hell? I don't think God's that way. I know he's going to have two prophets here. What's going to constrain the devil? Me. I'll be part of that team. So guess what? There's so many things that are going to happen, Peggy, that because of theology, we American theology, we're clueless. Absolutely clueless. But if we're spiritual, Jesus can tell us. Well, let me tell you what's going to happen. Uh-huh. Let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you what you're going to be involved in. Because, see, I got to hear from him. My information comes from him, Peggy, not from theology. I didn't go to a prophet and say, hey, give me a word. God, what do you say about what do you want me to do? I want to use the foolish things of this world can find a wife. Boy, that's me. Good Lord, that's me. About as foolish as you can get. I don't look the part. I don't talk the part. There's no way God can, but you know what? That God's got humor. See, I know God's got humor. Just to use you, he's got humor. He's got to have humor. Peggy, you don't look like you could blow the fuzz off a peach. But guess what? It has nothing to do with your natural power. That's the thing. God in us. That's the mystery at the same time. God in us. Spiritual. It's the ministry. It's the presence. It is the personification of the Holy Spirit in our lives and showing Yeshua in us. That's what we're getting into. That's why I'm excited. Now, I don't understand it all. Don't need to. But I know one thing. I'm so excited that no minister is going to box it up, screw it up, put a card on it, put Channel 29, TBN. No one's going to mess with it. No one's going to have anything to do with it. I don't care. It's not going to be in Pensacola, Fort Worth. It's going to be corporate. And the head of the church, Jesus, will speak to the Holy Spirit, and he'll be in charge of it. Only him. And whoever who he designs, the least, will be first. They'll be responsible. Because why? They're mature. We're finally going to see mature leaders. Because Jesus said, he's coming for a bride without spot, without blemish. That means we're all cleaned up. We're maturing. So guess what? I'm excited about all this. And that's why I wanted to come tonight and just share this to all you that are listening. If you have any questions, so what? Just go to the Holy Ghost, because you'll have more questions if you don't go to him. And if you're saying, well, I don't believe in all that doctrine, it's not my doctrine. I don't have notes. I don't care. All I can tell you right now is what the Holy Spirit said to me, and I totally know his voice. I know exactly. I know him. Since I know him, I'm comfortable with it. I don't understand everything he says. Don't need to. But what I do know is this. Let every man be a liar, but let this word, not only written, but spoken, be true. So that's where we're at. Amen? Well, praise God. How much more time do we have? I think it's... Are we done? Well, praise God. Okay, we're going to end on that. We're going to pray, and I want to do this publicly. Jim and David are still in Uganda, so I want to pray publicly. So you get in agreement with me, those on the internet right now. And they're coming back from Uganda, and we just want to pray tonight for that, again, for safe trip all the way back when they come back Wednesday, right? Wednesday. And also that they'll have to deal with jet lag and all that kind of stuff. And that, again, that none of the diseases, whether it be malaria or whatever, has tried to, because I know they had to deal with some mosquitoes. We think we got mosquitoes in Texas. We don't have mosquitoes in Texas. Well, everything in Texas, they say, is big. But I heard in Uganda, they got some big mosquitoes, big boys, that look at you and they kind of look at you and say, okay, there's dinner, there's lunch, there's breakfast, and because they're hungry, and there's millions of them. So we want to pray for Jim and for David that when they come back, they'll have a refreshing and they'll be stateside. Peggy was telling me that Jim has to hit the floor coming, and the minute he gets here, he's got a lot of things to do. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you and we lift up David and Jim to you. And we just thank you, Lord God, that, again, you're going to bring them home safe. Refreshed. I'm believing, Father, an impartation of refreshment when they come back. And then when Jim will even be different when he comes back. He's just going to grab hold of Peggy and give her the biggest, wettest, sloppiest kiss on the lips she's never had before. And so is David. They're going to come back refreshed and totally and more in love with you and with great testimonies of the presence and the ability of God that's in them. Matter of fact, I know they've grown and matured in the things of God because of this trip. And I lift up Pastor Joel and all those ministers that are out there, that the word that they deposited in them, Father, will grow and produce much, much fruit in those ministries. And again, I thank you again, Father God, for the privilege to minister life through the Holy Spirit here today at Emmanuel Church. And I thank you again, Father, for all that you're doing. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Be blessed out there. And if you have any comments or anything concerning the message tonight, again, there's no sermon, please write in and let Pastor Jim or Peggy know, what you heard blessed you. And if God moves on you, wherever you are on the internet, send an offering here. Send something here to bless this ministry, not because that's what everybody does, but simply because you want to be able to sow into what God's doing something with these two ministries here. So if there's a millionaire out there and you don't know what to do with that million, I'm telling you, send it in here, because we're not after money, but I'm telling you, this is something that this ministry will put it to the use of the gospel, not into stuff and buildings and all kinds. I'm telling you, these two ministries here are Jesus' ministries, and your giving will be a blessing to these ministries. And we thank you for it now. So be blessed. Have a great time. And next Sunday, Pastor Jim will be in, and I'm pretty sure he's going to have some great stories to talk about and share with you all. So God bless you, and bless you all in the internet. Bless you.